Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio network. It was such a relief to see that the Festival of Hate, also known as the Democratic National Committee's convention, had finally ended last month. I couldn't bear to watch much of it. The tiring speeches of these supposed Democrat luminaries and saviors of our society were filled with their usual lies, distortions, and tricks meant for public consumption, meant to mask their true intentions for Democrat politicians in power controlling the government and country. From what I saw of the convention speakers, they were pretty much all claiming that everything wrong with the country is Donald Trump's fault. Massive inflation that has more than doubled some of the food and the prices for some of the food and other items I buy. All Trump's fault. Our Democrat-led illegal open borders madness flooding the nation with millions of unvetted illegal aliens paid to come and stay here with billions of newly printed money that will require your hard-earned tax dollars to pay off during your children's and grandchildren's futures. All Trump's fault. In fact, just about the entire convention could be summed up as one gigantic attack on Trump, Trump, Trump. Trump is a bad guy. Trump is a boogeyman. Trump is a threat to democracy. You notice they never say just how and why Trump is a threat to democracy. Just take their word for it. And don't worry. They're going to pay you $25,000 toward purchase of a home. Enact price control so you won't be gouged at the grocery store anymore as they keep printing and spending money. And they're going to support the middle class in other ways. While they bring in millions and millions more desperately poor illegal aliens here and pay them to stay here and live here, then these people will be voting even before being handed citizenship. So you will be part of a massive redistribution of wealth to these penniless new arrivals, as the deep state's thug Joe Biden calls them. To better understand all this, you have to realize that today's U.S. Democratic Party is the Communist Party. As former communist and renowned conservative author and commentator David Horowitz has put it, it is the Communist Party. And, of course, allied with these Democrats, as commentator Will Johnson has called them, are so many rhinos, that is, Republicans in name only, who are just as eager to sell out the country to their masters in communist China, where so much of their donors' money is invested. Make no mistake about it, these people at the DNC convention, if not actual card-carrying members of U.S. communist parties and allied organizations, are certainly communist sympathizers, supporters, dupes, and lackeys. To see through what they are saying publicly, you need look no further than the concept of newspeak, as related in George Orwell's novel 1984, about a totalitarian communist takeover of Britain. Now, if I'm understanding David Zhang correctly, who is an observer of the Communist Chinese Party, the CCP's mouthpieces often condemn as lies what are actually true. What they state is true is often lies. This is how totalitarians speak to us. For today's Democrats and rhinos here in America, lies are truths. We're supposed to believe slavery is actually freedom. War is really keeping the peace. Communism is democracy. So Donald Trump is, of course, the quintessential threat to that democracy. As I've said numerous times, to understand how the communists and their supporters operate, you need to know certain key characteristics about them. One is an often seething, self-righteous hate disguised as righteous indignation and supposed great injustice. For example, there is no debate with these people over their hysterical stupidity concept of climate change, formerly known as global warming. If you question their mantra of climate change, you are wrong and must be destroyed. As Argentine President Javier Milei has said, if you don't agree with leftists, they'll kill you. Which brings me to another characteristic of leftists, which is an absolute belief that the end goals always are justified by the means of achieving those goals. So, along the road to utopia on Earth for the common people, aka workers of the world, mass murder, slavery, and terror are perfectly acceptable, even desired. As a third characteristic of these people, I call outrageous hypocrisy. I couldn't understand why people would support communist totalitarianism when it's supposed to mean redistribution of all wealth, no private property, and so on. But that's not how communism really works. The political elites of this philosophy of self-destruction get to keep their wealth and even accumulate more wealth, along with special privileges, freedoms, and power. Until, that is, many of them are stripped of their wealth and power and are murdered or imprisoned in the inevitable internal rivalries among those in power. Tell me where on earth this has not happened once communist totalitarians have taken over a country. And you also need to realize that our government is now largely controlled or influenced by what is referred to as the deep state, also known as the swamp, the permanent Washington establishment, the blob, and so forth. There are various aspects of this, some of which may seem contradictory, but let's delve a little further into this. Shortly on today's program, we will see and listen to the first part of an interview on the Alex Jones Show earlier last month with Gregory Stenstrom, co-founder of Patriot.online, which Stenstrom describes as a digital privacy ecosystem and social media platform. I believe he's a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy and was served in the Navy as an officer. He describes himself as a security and fraud expert, and he is co-author of the book The Parallel Election, A Blueprint for Deception, which he says documents the massive fraud in the 2020 presidential election. The interview had to do with Stenstrom's July 18, 2024 article, The Council, Who is Running the United States of America? In that article, Stenstrom details what he states are the leaders of the deep state who wield power through the organization they staff and control and its offshoots. It's known as the Council of the Inspectors General and Integrity and Efficiency. That's the Council of the Inspectors General on Integrity and Efficiency, also known by the acronym CIGIE or SEEK, pronounced SIGI. Stenstrom describes this body as, quote, an independent entity within the federal government, which encompasses and completely controls the U.S. Department of Justice and all U.S. intelligence agencies via their respective embedded inspectors general. Within the inner circles of the SIGI, the Department of Justice is referred to as the Department of Just Us, with the power to retaliate, create dossiers on anyone, surveil anyone, indict and prosecute anyone, and obstruct any investigation into their own malfeasance or that of their minions. With an army of armed agents to unilaterally inflict their will, the SIGI can do as they please. End quote. When you think about it, why wouldn't the cackling communist Kamala Harris always be smiling and laughing? After all, if you believe what's been reported and described about the deep state and its leadership, she can count on the leaders of the CIA, FBI, and other U.S. intelligence agencies, the DOJ, and their allies in the CCP, and their supporters and operatives across our country to do everything within their power to throw another election for her and thus consolidate their power and increase their control over the American populace. I've known about this for some time, but as Stenstrom notes, many of these deep state leaders and operatives, while wearing suits and earning high salaries, are brainwashed, dedicated ideologues and followers of, as election integrity activist and commentator Javon Hutton Pulitzer refers to as, the religion of communism. And I believe, I 100% agree, it is a religion. And these true believers have long worked for an eventual merging of capitalism and communism, which we are seeing today in communist China, which seems to be leaning a lot more towards totalitarian communism than free market systems, while trying to incorporate some aspects of capitalism. And The true believers have long worked for this merging, which they refer to as Capcom. And this was outlined by current U.S. Congressman J.B. Raskin's radical leftist, supposedly communist father, Marcus Raskin, in his concept of progressive social reconstruction. Now, Stenstrom observes in his article, quote, "Progressive social reconstruction, which combines capitalism and communism, embodies the worst aspects of capitalist and communist ideologies. It is government intrusion into people's lives in which an elite, self-appointed ruling class acting as capitalists uses the government for their own financial gain. We are already living under this system whereby the government oversees and regulates the economy and our lives." And his quote continues, "This is a complete reversal of what the Council refers to as an outdated constitution of the United States. Their interest is the destruction of our nation's founders' vision of a government of the people for the people, to illegitimately install and maintain a system of their absolute control over Americans." End quote. Moving on here. First off, in today's video clips, here are Dr. Steve Turley's comments after the first day of the DNC convention, which were broadcast on his YouTube and Rumble.com channels.
All right, so last night was the opening night of the clown show par excellence, the Democrat convention. And given the Hollywood-like treatment that the Democrats and Kami Kamala have been given by the legacy media over the last few weeks, it was surprisingly bad. It was, in many respects, really an optics disaster. It all started with that cringe Doritos debacle. Did you see that? I mean, Cackles Kamala got filmed. She was filmed visiting a convenience store. It was all completely scripted. They cleared out all of the customers and replaced them with actors, with paid actors. That's a common theme throughout Kamala's AstroTurf campaign, and she literally had no idea where the bag of Doritos was in the store that she was supposed to buy. She's supposed to walk in, buy this bag of Doritos, and twice, not once, but twice, someone else had to find them for her. It was so unbelievably cringe. They actually had to film it multiple times. They had to do multiple takes, never quite got it right. When she did finally reach the convention venue, Cackles was confronted by thousands of protesters outside the arena. They're estimating that there will be upwards of 100,000 protesters descending on Chicago during the course of this week, chanting things like, "Killer Kamala is her name, killing children is her game." I mean, who needs Republicans when your own Democrat base is chanting things like that? And then as the convention got underway, ironically and weirdly, the convention floor was like a ghost town. The convention hall is practically empty. I mean, seriously. Now, just compare this to the way the Republican convention looked a month ago. You couldn't find an empty seat. And that's the way it was with all of the opening speakers. See it for yourself, gang. There are more empty seats than there are attendees. There's no genuine excitement here. There's no enthusiasm. They know this is a train wreck waiting to happen. Speaking of train wrecks, what on earth was the deal with AOC's bizarre phony accent she broke into in the middle of delivering her cringeworthy speech?
And I, for one, am tired of hearing about how a two-bit union buster thinks of himself as more of a patriot than the woman who fights every single day to lift working people out from under the boots that breathe, trampling on our way of life.
These people really are just a parody of repulsiveness. But the highlight of the night last night was, without question, Biden's final humiliation. He arrived at the convention looking utterly confused, completely dazed, zoned out, as if his brain just simply couldn't process the situation that he was in. And when he did finally get up to speak, which, if you can believe it, wasn't until 11:30 p.m., they literally shoved him out of the primetime spot. The current president of the United States, gang, was shoved out of the primetime spot. I mean, the DNC buried Biden's speech to literally the midnight hour when no one was watching. And they did it for good reason, because when he did open his mouth, I mean, there literally are no words that can even begin to describe it.
It's decision overturning Roe v. Wade, as you heard earlier tonight. The United States Supreme Court majority wrote the following, quote, women are not without electrical, not allowed, not without electoral or political power. No kidding.
The New York Post is calling it Biden's final embarrassment. It's his final public humiliation, his final insult. When all is said and done, this guy is going to go down in history as perhaps the biggest political failure in our nation's history. His election was just controversial from the get-go. And then after he assumed office, he went in to oversee the total unraveling of the American economy, our national security at the southern border, and of course, the unraveling of the entire international order. Wars abroad, depression at home. That's Biden's permanent record. In fact, it's so bad, Kami Kamala is doing everything she possibly can to try to run away from him and his record. She's literally, she is, if you think about it, she is campaigning against her own administration's record.
While it's all speculation at this point, as you probably are aware, there is considerable concern and fear that the deep state, or at least some of its leaders and operatives, may have been involved, directly or indirectly, in the July 13th assassination attempt on President Trump. As with recent reports of an Iranian government plot that has surfaced, which the Iranians deny, to assassinate Donald Trump, Alice Jones is predicting there will be another assassination attempt on Trump, and it will be blamed on the Iranians. We may never know the truth, but many Trump supporters are worried that the deep state will do anything to prevent Trump from being elected this November, and thus endangering their power and exposure of their activities. It's believed these people were possibly involved in fomenting the nationwide rioting during the summer of 2020, leading up to the rigged election that installed Joe Biden in the White House, along with installing other Democrats and allied rhinos in the U.S. House and Senate. And it's feared that, as Joe Biden seemingly unwittingly truthfully stated during his first interview, this time on CBS, after being forced to quit the 2024 presidential race, such violence may happen again, quote, if Trump wins, unquote. And then, of course, Biden quickly corrected himself and said, I mean, if Trump loses. Here's some comments about this by former U.S. Secret Service agent Dan Bongino on his Rumble.com channel last month. We don't have time to play the entire broadcast, but in this clip we are playing, Bongino plays a part of a video in which Mike Benz, former U.S. State Department official and founder and executive director of FoundationForFreedomOnline.com, relates how the CIA, USAID, and other arms of the U.S. government, allied with business people and government officials internationally, worked together to encourage rioting by indigenous populations in other countries to bring about desired political change and ends. Not included in this clip is another video Bongino plays later in this program, featuring a discussion by, I believe he calls him Yehud Barak, who Bongino describes as an international globalist and leftist, who proclaims that when something like 8% of the adult population, populations of countries, take to the streets and with protests and rioting against the existing governments, it usually brings about the downfall of those governments. However, I'd say tell that to the millions or more pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong a few years back. Their demonstrations came to nothing, and their leaders were quickly arrested, those who didn't flee, and sentenced to lengthy prison terms by the CCP-installed Hong Kong officials. Some of the CCP opposition who escaped Hong Kong are now under CCP-imposed death sentences in absentia. Bongino warns that Trump and his supporters had better be prepared for another round of mass rioting and social unrest if Trump should win the 2024 election. The title of Bongino's show is Be Prepared for the Worst If the Democrats Lose.
These rent-a-riot mobs, the Democrats know exactly what they're doing. Here's part two where Benz describes exactly how the racial rent-a-riots are done not only here, but are around the done around the world in conjunction with the deep state. And then when I show you the Time article next, organized labor, CEOs, corporate America, the blob, you're going to be like, wow, did that happen here in 2020? Check out part two.
A capacity build connections into the African workers who are working for Chinese companies, who are working in the African government transportation sector, who are working, you know, in all the different trades. And they quote, inflame tensions against the Chinese in order to have the Africans cut off their labor force. They, in the hypothetical, they brag about how they got 60% of Chinese businesses, the labor force, to leave. And they did this using U.S. taxpayer money, actually. They ended up bribing, in this hypothetical, the workers in Africa with USAID job fairs, giving them no-show jobs, basically paying them to take to the streets and riot. And then essentially the State Department goes back to the, so you can see how this all works together. You have the intelligence services, you have the military, you have USAID, and you have the State Department. The State Department ends up going back to the African government, and the African government basically to get the riots to stop and to bring peace back, they end up acquiescing and canceling the port deal. This is
government, NGOs, corporations in Africa working together to stoke racial hatred to get some political goal. Sound familiar? Political goal. Stop Donald Trump. Corporations, organized labor, the blob, the deep state. Oh, shit. That happened here. And they even wrote about it. Time Magazine, Molly Ball, The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election. I've never seen this before. Justin's like, we've cut this thing so many times that he doesn't even need to cut it anymore. Let me just read to you how the Democrats, after they stole 2020, actually went and bragged about what they did with the blob. Quote, meaning they actually wrote this. This is not a Dan Bongino conspiracy theory. They actually wrote about it and bragged about it. Quote, there was a conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes. One that both curtailed the protests and coordinated the resistance from CEOs, resistance to Trump. Both surprises were the result of an informal alliance between left-wing activists and business titans. Sound familiar? The pact was formalized in a terse little notice joint statement of the Chamber of Commerce and AFL-CIO published on Election Day. Chamber of Commerce and the AFL-CIO and unions, aren't they supposed to be enemies? Both sides would come to see it as sort of an implicit bargain inspired by the summer's massive, destructive racial justice protests. Ah! In which the forces of labor came together with the forces of capital to keep the peace and oppose Trump's assault on democracy. Everybody just TO for a second. Time out, okay? Did you hear what Ben's just said? Nobody does the deep state breakdown better than this guy. That there is this globalist model. It's like a paint by the numbers of how to cause enough societal strife. You know what we need? Hey, where's Guy? Is he around? Guy, can you pull for tomorrow? Remember Ehud Barak? That thing about when we need to pull that for tomorrow. Folks, this is a globe. Do you have it? Yes. I'm going to take a break. Do not go anywhere. Folks, this is killer. Leftists and swampies around the globe have this paint-by-the-numbers model. Business titans, labor, swampies, bureaucrats, non-governmental organizations. When they can cause enough of a ruckus in the street with very little people, they can basically steal an election and enforce a political aim. They know exactly what they're doing, and I promise they're going to do it again. You need to be ready for it. Especially Republicans up on Capitol Hill and at the state level. You need to be ready to start making arrests if people break the law, and you know they're going to.
Now, here's the first part of that interview with Gregory Stenstrom on the Alex Jones Show on Infowars.com, August 13.
the first rule of warfare, the first rule in any fight is you've got to know who the enemy is. You have to put a face to them. And what we've done with this article is put a face to them and explain how they work, what they do, and who has the power to stop it. The president of the United States has the power to stop this, in particular, President Trump. And if you look at President Trump and you look at who he is, he's the greatest whistleblower in history. He walked among them, not with them, but among them. He knows who they are. He knows what they've done. He knows how they work. If he didn't, he does now. But that is a huge threat to them, because in concert with the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, and the House Judiciary Committee, they have remedies that they can take to suspend and terminate the actions of the council and break their hold on this country and their extraction of wealth, and they're basically their wielding of power through political people. So if you look at Trump as the greatest whistleblower of all time, and he's coming in, then he would usher in hundreds of other federal whistleblowers that have been crushed financially, removed from their jobs, terminated, in some cases, murdered for attempting to, you know, have good governance. What the Democrats need to look at here, and Republicans, they need to look at how they're being manipulated. Did any Democrat get a choice of Hillary Clinton? No. I mean, Bernie Sanders won the primary, not Hillary. Did any Democrats get a say in the removal of Biden, who is effectively removed right now? Did anybody get a say in Kamala Harris and Waltz being installed into the presumptive nominee? I mean, Governor, I don't know anybody who made a choice of Governor Waltz. Do you? And I think once people see that, they go, well, who's calling the shots on that? It's the Uniparty. It's the council. There are a small group of people calling the shots. Once you know who they are, and you kind of accept that. Part of the cognitive dissonance people have is they can't believe that they're just going to steal the election. They can't believe that, COVID could have possibly been meant to harm them. They go, I can't believe that our government would do that. Well, you saw prima facie evidence that they, whether they were involved in trying to murder President Trump and assassinate him, they certainly didn't do anything to stop it. So why is it such a hard leap to say that they'll steal an election? Having said that, we have to prepare people that the council and their political arms, their intelligence arms and so forth, they're constantly running shaping operations, and they tell you what they're going to do if you listen. They've told us they're going to steal the election. And what we have to do is we don't have to say, woe is me, what are we going to do? We have to say, okay, they're going to steal the election. What do we do? Does the election end on November 5th or 6th, whatever day they announce Harris won? No. The election goes until December 10th, until they can certify, and they must show that they ran a lawful election to certify. So just simply announcing it in the press that Harris won is insufficient.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com/show and share the link today.
All right, he comes highly recommended from great researchers in the Trump campaign. Greg Stenstrom is a decorated Navy veteran, researcher. I won't go over his whole bio, but he has done an amazing deep dive. I have hundreds of pages of research, and I had him come on last week and only read like 100 pages. So I said, let's move into this week because I wanted to read it all. I did read it all yesterday, over 400 pages of it. He's done an excellent analysis because I've done my own research, so I know it's accurate. But he's gone really, really deep on who is the deep state commanders. And Ivan Reichland's done a great job, Defense Intelligence Agency, lawyer, patriot, on the general group, you know, hundreds of them. But who are the generals? Who are the field marshals that obviously tried to kill Trump a month ago and are doing all of this? And so Greg's done a great job. Patriot.online, you can find him there. He is the co-author of a best-selling book, The Parallel Election, A Blueprint for Deception. He has co-defendants with President Trump in a landmark defamation lawsuit in Philadelphia. And it just goes on from there. We're talking about the council and who is running the government, assassination attempt on President Trump, removal of Biden, insulation of Harris, and the council on Trump, Alex Jones, Roger Stone, General Flynn, Christina Bobb, Joe Hoff, Steve Bannon, and ordinary citizens like Stenstrom. And so we're going to break it all down with him right now and try to give him the floor for the hour. And we'll tell you where you can go read the council, who is running the United States, Department of Justice. Here's the report for TV viewers. You should spend your time reading this. We'll tell you where to find it. But Greg, thank you so much for being with us today.
Good to be here. I've been looking forward to it. I've been a big fan for years, and it's a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, I knew your report was important, and people in the Trump campaign high level said I should talk to you, and I'd seen some of your work before, but I'm going to try to just shut up and give you the floor. Let's begin as we zero in on not the entire deep state, because that can get dizzying, but on the key commanders here, kind of the deck of cards. Let's talk about who is in this coup against America.
Sure. Just to kind of preface and before we get into it, I've been involved since the 2020 election in a statutory role as an authorized representative and certified poll watcher. And over the past 4 years, I've been involved in a number of lawsuits, including the defamation suit where we're co-defendants with President Trump, which we won, by the way, using truth as a complete defense. And over that period of time, I've been working with a close group of friends, Colonel and Dr. Timothy Schindler, and I are close friends, and I want to make sure I properly credit a lot of this work to him.
And I should add your huge bio. You're a doctor as well. Yeah, so go ahead.
No, I'm not a doctor.
I saw MD on here.
Bachelor's of Science, Maryland. You saw Annapolis, Maryland. So I'm a U.S. Naval Academy graduate. And
So let's plunge into it.
Let's get into it. So the premise of the article and the reason for the show today was there's a control group within this country that was developed in 1978 in response to the Watergate scandal, for the people old enough to remember that, with Nixon and so forth. And there was the creation of a group called the Council. The Council is what they were originally created as. It's also known as the CIGIE, C-I-G-I-E, but I'm going to refer to it for the Council to keep people on track. And what they've done is they initially formed for, I think, good, the Inspector General Corps, combined with the FBI and the Department of Justice. They were what's called a sui generis operation, a group of untouchables. Sui generis means unto themselves, so that they could investigate anyone, including the President of the United States, members of Congress, the Senate, global oligarchs, masters of business. So I think the group was originally formed, I'm going to say, whether it was good intentions or not, but they created a tremendous amount of power and put it in a small group of people's hands. And what's happened is that has been twisted over the last 50 years. And this group has become basically the people who run the United States of America. And, you know, to say them by name is the simplest thing, but the council currently, the top level of the council, is Inspector General Michael Horowitz, FBI Director Christopher Wray, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, the Director of Office of Professional Responsibility, Jeffrey Ragsdale, the Chief Public Integrity Sector called the PIN, which is Corey Amundson, and Deputy U.S. Attorney Lisa Monaco, and First Principal Deputy Marshall Miller. That group is at the pinnacle or the head of the council, and they have the power to indict anyone they want, and they've done so. They indicted President Trump. They have the power to hold investigations or obstruct investigations. And that's where I originally touched on them in the group I'm working with that includes Dr. Schindler. They originally contacted me. We were classmates as well. But the obstruction of the massive election fraud of 2020, the obstruction of investigations, is where I came into contact with them. There's multiple other people, whistleblowers in the federal government, that they've obstructed cases. And that's part of the article where we explain where that came from. But they basically weaponized government agencies by placing inspectors general in each of these government agencies, the CIA, NSA, pick an agency. They've got an inspector general in there. And that inspector general reports to Inspector General Horowitz. And that group is what really controls the United States. And some of the emeritus, it's an organization that's got an emeritus, but other former and still current members include U.S. Attorney General William Barr, Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen, Richard Donahue, former U.S. Attorney General, FBI Director Andrew McCabe, Robert Mueller, James Comey, Eric
So
Holder.
This is the top of the deep state.
This is the pinnacle. Jack Smith is included in that group, who's running the indictments against President Trump. And what we did in the article, and when we were putting the article together, we tried to make it as simple as possible and gave a litmus test and tests to say that no matter who you are in the government, no matter what level, whatever agency, including President Trump, everything boils down to the council. And one of the things we gave was the assassination attempt of President Trump. So basically, who could have coordinated that and who is now investigating that? So when you go up the pecking chain, you go to Secret Service, to the Department of Homeland Security, and then you end up with the council, the FBI. And if you go back to the testimony, we had Cheadle, who was insolently refused to answer questions for the Congress. Then we had Christopher Wray, who insolently refused to answer questions of the Congress. And when you go up to one more level and you say, well, who would investigate him or who would investigate Cheadle? You come to the council. You come to Inspector General Horowitz, and that's the pinnacle of the council. So I'm going to give you a second, to ask any questions and send me.
I've read your report, and I've read your report, and it's dead on, and you're highly recommended by the Trump campaign, and you're a great guy. So we just want you to go through this because we already basically know this, but you've drilled in and getting you put the technicals together. So it's one thing to like know something and see it. It's another thing to put a report together that's so well documented, and they basically admit this now. Even the New York Times says, "Oh, the deep state's great. There is a deep state. Thank God for it." They kind of admit, because I pulled that article back up when I read the report a few days ago. I was like, "Oh wait, the New York Times kind of said this." So they admit, "Oh, thank God, there's a bureaucracy to stop Trump." And then you've got the real director of the Secret Service, now the director, the acting director, standing down, lying to Congress. I mean, it's all right there. And so they don't want to be revealed, though. So it's very important to spotlight these people. So please continue.
That's exactly the reason I authored the article and working with the people I'm working with. The reason we authored the article is, number one, to actually give people hope. What we don't want to do is we don't want people to feel they've worked very hard at making people feel like any efforts they make are futile. And that's not so. And one of the things they do is they hide their relatively very small numbers with diversions. So when people say the deep state, or they say the cabal, George Soros, aliens, Obama, Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton, they're always pointing to different people.
But you're giving Trump a real blueprint of who to fire immediately. That's why they're scared.
Yes. This is the people that run the country, and they do so through multiple means.
But it's always historically the Praetorian Guard. It's always the guardians that turn bad. I mean, that's what this is.
That's a great term. In fact, Tim uses that. Colonel Schindler uses that all the time, where this is the Praetorian Guard. And it's great that you pop that out, because it's exactly what they are. They're a Praetorian Guard that has turned against the public. And they do that through a political arm, an intelligence arm, an infiltration arm, a business arm, a propaganda arm, and an entertainment arm. These are people that are very well organized, and they've been working on a plan that was actually formulated over 100 years ago, but fully implemented 50 years ago. And they have been working on one thing, and that is the extraction of wealth from the United States. It really comes down to extraction of wealth. They look at us, and they look at you, Alex, they look at me, they look at everyone in this audience as livestock. They really do. They look at us as stewards of a farm with positive and negative values.
Yeah, it's all, exactly. They don't see us as humans, as numbers. The good news is, when you elaborate, you're on target. You're totally right. We're the real Praetorian Guard. And when we're the real Praetorian Guard, though. That's the difference now. They know that now.
Well, I think that's a great point. We are the, you know, when Ben Franklin handed us, when he spoke about handing us a republic, he said, it's up to you to keep it. So it requires our participation. And the point of the article was to expose this relatively small group of people so that, to your point, Alex, the Praetorian Guard, the people would know who to fight. The first thing, the first rule of warfare, the first rule in any fight is you've got to know who the enemy is. You have to put a face to them. And what we've done with this article is put a face to them and explain how they work, what they do, and who has the power to stop it. The president of the United States has the power to stop this, in particular, President Trump.
And that's why they're so scared. That's why they're so scared.
Absolutely. They're scared to death of him because he does know, he does have a bead on who they are. They know he's got a bead on them. They've got him completely bracketed and surrounded. And they're quite frankly, I think they're very, very concerned that once he gets in, if he gets in, that he will work to dismantle that organization.
And he pledged last night with Elon Musk to obliterate the deep state. So let's elaborate on that. Obviously, it was a deep state deal. They tried to kill him. They failed. How panicked are they right now that they failed to kill him?
I wouldn't say that they panic about anything. These are cool cucumbers. They've been able to step around landmines that have blown up on them. This is a cool group of people, and they have they wield a tremendous amount of power. They wield the power of the FBI. They wield the power of the CIA. They wield the power of Congress and the Senate, people who are beholden to them. They wield a tremendous amount of power. But with that comes a downside. In wielding that power over the last 50 years, they've made their own enemies. And both on the left and the right, up and down, they have made a tremendous amount of enemies in the control of the population. And what you're showing on the screen there right now is the political arm. A lot of people think, most people think that this group would report to the president. They think, well, Obama's in charge, or Pelosi.
When the bureaucrats wanted Biden gone, he was gone.
Correct. Well, the bottom line is the council wanted him gone. And what happens is the council does not work for the president. The presidents and the people that you're showing on the screen there work for them. And it's very timely, even though this article came out a few weeks ago, Jamie Raskin, who's listed on there and pictured there, who was the person who said the Congress will not allow President Trump to be seated?
He said we'll have a civil war.
Mm-hmm. And look at there, that picture was posted. You know, this article has been out for weeks now. And just if you watch the news over the past few weeks and you see who's speaking, Grassley, Raskin, the people in there.
No, I agree with your report. It's because just watching it, you've identified who the enemy officers are.
So what they do, and we've talked about, the assassination attempt of President Trump, and I'm actually not a conspiracy theorist, but when, I believe my eyes, when I see something like that, and I saw that 20-year-old, I'm going to say that was somebody's son laying there in a pool of blood. And, to characterize him as, the shooter, the deranged boy. I looked at that picture and knowing what I know and looking at this, I said he didn't get through an outer ring of security that was managed by Governor Shapiro, who was up for the VP slot. He didn't get through that outer ring. He didn't escape the FBI and the Secret Service surveillance. He didn't escape all that, get up on a roof on a ladder with an AR-15 120 yards from the president without some help.
Oh, total protection. Even Congress is now agreeing with that. This was so obviously he was being protected.
Well, and then the other thing I ask people to do all the time, and the things that I write and the books that I, you know, that I, and the articles I put together, is people need to learn to trust their eyes and their ears, and not let somebody chew their food for them and tell them how it tastes, and not tell them what they're hearing and say, well, you're not seeing what you're seeing. People need to
learn. So we saw a total stand down. The Secret Service had lying about it caught red-handed.
Right. So this is a, I felt bad. My heart went out to this poor boy's father, as you know, he was manipulated. I don't think he was there acting alone.
No, totally
and
set up.
Just from the audio, this, well, when you listen to the audio, you know, anybody who's done any amount of, you know, firing rifles and so forth, there's distinct rifles. You know, that wasn't one boy firing. That was
no,
a gunfight.
No, you hear different clear reports. You hear different reports.
So no matter what your you know, theory is, and Ray and Cheadle aren't forthcoming in terms of what happened. They've refused to tell the Congress what was happening, and they refused to report to the people via their representatives to Congress. And that shows their contempt. But to say that there wasn't a gunfight there was AR-15, you know, fire coming in. There was 30 caliber fire going out. There was 30 caliber fire coming in. And then they say, well, there was only one shooter. You know, well, who were they shooting at? You have to scratch your head and just listen to your own ears and believe your own eyes. And this is part of exposing the council for who they are. Because once people start listening and looking at the 2020 election and the upcoming election, they stole the 2020 election. You can see with your eyes. We have the evidence. It's a matter of judicial and public record.
No, it's all come out. Illegals voted, fake ballots. It's all come out.
Well, they use a variety of means, but what they have projected in going into the NEP subject is they may say, well, we're not in control, but who removed President Biden? Who removed him? Who did he report? He said, well, I'm turning our government over to my cabinet, or I'm turning it over to the bureaucracy. Well, who has the power to do that?
Stop there, because that's the next point. Why did Pelosi come out and say she didn't believe the letter? Why is she distancing herself? They're now admitting that it was a coup. What is the point of that?
Absolutely. The point is I think they're feeling bracketed. They're not just, they'll never be desperate. These are smart people that have been doing this for a long time, powerful people. But I would say that once they're exposed, what my hope is, this isn't Greg Stenstrom or any particular group against the world. By, you know, exposing them as enemies, the Congress can see them, the Senate can see them, the business people can see them, and all of the work.
No, exactly. They can't survive exposure, so they want to get ahead of it. Like, oh, I admitted that; it's no big deal.
Correct. So there was an attempted assassination on President Trump. They've removed President Biden. They projected Harris as the presumptive nominee. But what they really communicated, and this is something I wanted to bring out on the show that people have to be prepared for, is they have every intent of stealing the election again on November 5th. No matter what the results are, no matter how many people turn out, no matter what the evidence is, no matter what your eyes and ears, you know, tell you, they're going to come out and say, President Harris won the election. They're going to do that on November 5th.
I totally agree. So how do we counter that?
Well, the counter of that is, you know, we've developed a plan. And the plan is basically what they didn't have in 2020 is they didn't have an evidentiary base. You know, when people went to vote with their, you know, ballots, they were told that someone had already voted for them, and then they couldn't vote, or they gave them a provisional ballot, most of which aren't even counted. What we got is a lot of noise, a lot of clamor, a lot of anger on TV of people saying they weren't allowed to vote. What they didn't have is they didn't provide evidence. So what we're doing is we're going through and we're comparing mail-in ballot applications to whether they're qualified electors. During election day, anyone who's denied their right to vote, you know, we don't want anybody getting into a fist fight. in the polling stations, what we want them to do is say, okay, I'll follow the law. You're telling me I have to file a provisional ballot, but I'm also going to file a police report, a call to have a report. And there's a process that they'll be able to follow. They'll present that evidence going up the chain. And so we're going to have a ton of evidence and be able to say, well, this county, in order for them to certify the vote by December 10th, then they have to be able to reconcile. They have to have adjudicated all police reports. They've got to have processed the provisional ballots. They must reconcile. If they don't do that, they can't certify the vote.
Nothing can be taken for granted in this November's election, which President Trump, Alex Jones, and many others describe as the most important election in history. I have to agree with them. And of course, as I always say in these commentaries, I am in no way advocating any type of violence or illegality in response to the threats to our liberty and way of life we are facing from today's communist and allied globalist takeover and quest for absolute power over America. On the contrary, that's what our political enemies want you to do, so they can use it to promote hate propaganda against us. Given what happened with the poor soul Trump supporters egged on and duped into committing the January 6, 2021 riot and illegal intrusion of the U.S. Capitol, no one should be fooled again into doing something irrational, violent, or illegal in our political struggles against these totalitarian-loving fools we are opposing. I call them fools because, as I said earlier, they're absolutely stupid to believe, as I'm convinced most of them do, that they will stay in power and have wealth and privileges while the rest of us become their slaves, should the USA, as we have known it, fall and become part of a world government totalitarian hellhole these enemies of ours so earnestly long for. That's all for another show. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com and elsewhere on the internet. Look for us again with another show 2 weeks from now in this same time slot, and have a great rest of your day and evening.